Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And I could have stayed in Colorado and have prayed, oh God, move in Boston, and nothing would have happened if somebody hadn't have come and have spoken the word and have taken their authority and done things. You don't have... The power of God is not released by you just getting in your prayer closet and praying. The power of God is released by you taking your authority. And this is the reason that the angel had to send for a man and bring a man to preach the gospel. Angels aren't going to do it for you. God's not going to do it for you. You can't do it without Him. He will not do it without you. It's a combination. His power working through you. You need to be anointed. And if you want to see a person saved, then go witness to them. And pray for wisdom that God will show you how to do it and what to say and give you an opportunity. I'm not saying that you don't pray, but I'm saying prayer is not going to change them. It's going to be you taking your authority and going out and flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And today we've got a whole movement in the body of Christ where prayer has been elevated to a place it was never supposed to be. You aren't supposed to just sit there and pray and ask God to do what He told you to do. He told you to go preach the gospel. He said, these signs will follow you. And people are in their prayer closet. Oh, God, pour out your spirit. Let there be miracles. Save people. But you wouldn't talk to them for nothing because they might criticize you and say you're a fanatic. That's wrong. That's wrong. The angel sent, had Cornelius send men to Joppa. They got Peter and the Holy Spirit gave him a vision and in a trance showed him things. You don't have visions and you don't have trances and you don't have miraculous things like what happened here in the 10th chapter without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't get into the spirit realm. You can get into the demonic spirit realm without the Holy Spirit, but you can't get into the Spirit of God realm without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It makes you spiritually dull and non-perceptive if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter was praying and the Holy Spirit showed him these things. He went with Cornelius' people. And when he came and preached to them, of course, this was against the Jewish law at that time. They hadn't understood that God was going to accept Gentiles into the body of Christ. They thought it was a totally Jewish thing. And here a Gentile was. And God had supernaturally told him to go preach the gospel. And as he was sharing the gospel with Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they received it and spoke in tongues. And Peter says, man, they've got to be born again because you can't speak in tongues until you've already been born again. This is only for those who have received salvation. So the very fact that they were speaking in tongues proved that they had already opened up their heart and that they were born again. And in the 11th chapter, when the church at Jerusalem heard about the Gentiles receiving salvation, they were upset and they called Peter in, and as he defended what he had done, he told him about the vision, but he said the very fact that they spoke in tongues and God gave them the same gift that He gave us to prove that they had received the Holy Spirit, who was I to withstand God? And the church finally said, well, it must be true. The Gentiles now can receive salvation. And all of this was centered over the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The reason I'm bringing this up in the 10th chapter, it shows you that they receive salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit nearly simultaneously. I'm not saying that there has to be a huge separation between being born again and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As you saw last night, we had a dozen people pray to receive salvation, and then immediately we prayed with them to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it has to be separated by days, months, or years, but there is a separate experience with the Holy Spirit that is different than just being born again. When you get born again is when your spirit gets changed and you are now identical to Jesus in your spirit, but Jesus never did a single miracle until the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And Jesus isn't going to flow through you until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus cannot operate independent of the Holy Spirit. They are so one. They are so united that if you aren't yielding to the Holy Spirit, then you aren't yielding to Jesus. They don't operate independent of each other. They're the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you've got to embrace all three parts of it, all three manifestations of God. And so the Holy Spirit is essential. It doesn't have to be a long separation in between them, but as evidenced here, but there is a separate experience. Here's another scripture that confirms this in Acts chapter 19. Here's another instance. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now this is an amazing question. If Paul would have been raised in one of the seminaries of our day, he wouldn't have asked this question because, of course, you've got the Holy Spirit when you got born again. But no, here he is asking people who were disciples. And some people say, well, they were disciples of the Pharisees. Let me ask you this. Why would Paul ask a Pharisee, a disciple of the Pharisees, if they had received the Holy Spirit? They hadn't even received Jesus. That would be a stupid question. That would be like, why would I go up here to a person who is anti-Christian, anti-God, atheist, and say, have you received the Holy Spirit? No, they haven't received the Holy Spirit. It's obvious they haven't received the Holy Spirit. The very fact that he talked to people who were disciples and said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It proves that there were Baptists all the way back in the Bible. Amen. That's a joke. Don't get mad at me. I'm not against Baptists. I was a Baptist. I got born again as a Baptist. But I'm saying that there were people back then who believed in only getting your sins forgiven, and they did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said, here's their answer. It says, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Does that sound familiar? You know, on television and in my meetings, I have people come and say, I've been a Christian for 20 and 30 years and I never knew these things. I never heard this stuff. That's a shame. We have such a watered down version of Christianity in our world today. This is the reason that the world as a whole is rejecting Christianity. They aren't really rejecting God, and they aren't rejecting true Christianity. They're rejecting the watered down religion that passes for Christianity today. But you know what? The world loves to see a fire. People will follow a fire engine. Everybody wants to look. You know what? If you'd catch on fire from God, the world come watch you burn. Amen. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire, I guarantee you, you'll still draw a crowd today. You know, I can stand to be persecuted, but I can't stand to be ignored. If I'm being ignored, that's because I'm not flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't always have a revival. Sometimes he'd have a riot, but he always got a response. If you really flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll either have a revival or a riot, but never indifference. If people at your workplace don't even know that you are a Christian, you don't agitate anybody or convert anybody, then you aren't flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't guarantee that everybody's going to respond positively, but if you truly are flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be response, either positive or negative. And so he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit and said, we hadn't even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? In other words, well, when you got born again, you were baptized. How did they baptize you? Did they baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? How did you get baptized without hearing about the Holy Spirit? And they answered and said unto him, unto John's baptism. And I could spend a long time explaining this, but it talked in the first verse about Apollos. Apollos was a person who heard through John that Jesus was the Messiah. If you remember, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he sent people after Jesus and said, he must increase and I must decrease. And he proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. And so John announced Jesus as the Messiah. Apollos was a person that had John's baptism. John baptized with water too. And he was baptized and raised up under the ministry of John the Baptist, proclaiming that Jesus was coming and that Jesus was going to be the Christ. But he apparently, Apollos just got out and started proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah. I'm sure he heard about the crucifixion, and so he pronounced that Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. And he was leading people to the Lord, but he wasn't sharing with them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John didn't know about it because the baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't happen until Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so Apollos was a person who had only a portion of the message that Jesus was the Christ, but he didn't have the full message about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Paul encountered some of his disciples, he says, "Unto what were you baptized?" "Unto John's baptism," because they had been brought up under Apollos. And then in verse 4 it says, Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." And so here again proves that there were people who were disciples, but they did not know. They hadn't even heard about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's just like the majority of Christians in the United States today who have heard that Jesus died for their sins, but they haven't heard that the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire will empower you and give you supernatural ability. And now you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll be able to prophesy. You can say things that you can't know by your natural mind.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Again today, I would like to encourage any of you who have not yet become partners with us to join up and become partners. You know, there's about 1% of the people who actually receive from these programs who ever write in and help us financially. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying that it ought to be much greater. It really should be. You know, I believe that these truths need to get out to everybody in the world, but I can't do it by myself. I'm willing to make the programs. I'm willing to do all of the work, but we need people to help us. How can they preach except they be sent? I'm asking you to send me. I'm asking you to pray about it and then call and become a monthly partner with us today.
Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. To all the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, we say thank you for your faithful support. And we want to remind you that you share in the rich rewards of seeing lives transformed by the power of the good news.